Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
You guys ready for it this morning? We're starting our brand new summer series called Juice. Everyone say Juice. Juice means a lot of things to a lot of different people, and so I'm not sure where you're coming from with this idea, but the bottom line is we're using that picture to introduce what we see in Scripture as the fruit of God's work in our life. The Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit, and all summer long, we're going to be working our way through each of those different expressions of what God does in our lives, and you're going to love it. Love it, love it, love it. So what I'm going to ask our ushers to do now is go ahead and move to the front and be prepared to serve you with menu sermon notes. If you made it by the greeters and didn't get the notes, this is your time to raise your hand and do that and make sure that you're ready to capture what God talks to you about while we're studying the Word today. And by the way, I want to just connect with those of you who've been around LifeLink maybe for a few weeks or a couple of months or maybe for a few years and just haven't found the right opportunity, but we've actually made another change. We introduced the change with our baptisms kind of sequence and where we fit that in the first Sunday weekend expression of LifeLink. But one of the other things that we're doing starting today is we're moving where our growth track actually meets with availability to serve people flowing into what God's doing at LifeLink. Historically, we've used Sunday evenings as our growth track, and we've provided dinner and childcare and a number of things, but we've been working hard as a team through the spring to get that into a spot that's really convenient for everyone. So starting today, if you've been looking for a great opportunity to go through growth track, it starts next service. So at 11:30, when the 11:30 service starts in here, our growth track is going to be starting over in what we call the student center, and it's just out that door and to the left. If you've got children in the children's area, you can go ahead and just recheck them back in, make sure they're all squared away. We'll have some refreshments for you to make sure that your blood sugar doesn't get too low. You can go through step one together with us. But I just wanted to make sure that you know that because we're looking for every possible way we can to be as convenient as possible to come alongside of what God's doing in your life to equip you to experience the very best God has for you. So if LifeLink is something you're interested in taking a closer look at, today is the perfect day to jump in on that. Well, listen, I'm excited about our summer series for a lot of reasons. Number one, every time we open the Bible and say, God, meet me here, he does. So he's going to meet us in his scripture all summer long. It's going to be awesome. Love how God does that. The amazing thing he does when he meets us in his scripture is he does work inside of us that produces outside change. And so that's really the context we're going to be looking at through this particular series called Juice. And I'm very excited about that. But one other kind of new feature we're going to experience as a congregation is something I'm extremely excited about, and that is this. LifeLink Church is very intentional with equipping people for God's plan and purpose for their lives. So as I mentioned with the heart behind our growth track, we also run schools of ministry. From season to season, we'll do Bible schools together. And several years ago, there was a group of young adults who started their way into our Bible school and schools of ministry, and they begin to coalesce into a team that we call a team that's in our pastor's class. And I'm going to take the opportunity this summer to introduce you to all six of the individuals in our pastor's class. And these are people who've come through our Bible schools. They all have at least bachelor's degrees in theology. Some of them have master's degrees. All of them have been through our schools of ministry. You see them serving in different places around the ministry spectrum at LifeLink Church. And so I'm going to introduce them by name this morning and introduce one of them to you who's going to help me tag team teach today. So all summer long, the young leaders in our church who are in our pastor's class are going to be tag teaming with the rest of the teaching pastors at LifeLink, and you're going to have a blast as we go through this. So let me introduce their names to you. The first one is James Mercer. The second one is Lacey Mercer, Chris Peterson, Leslie Peterson, Joshua Cooper Russell, and you feel free to call him Cooper Russell too, that's fine, and then Tiffany Russell. All six of these are our young adults who have been in our ministry training stream and very excited about what God's doing in all their lives. So today, we're going to be working our way through the first of the tag team, and I have the fantastic privilege of tag teaming the message with an extraordinary communicator, Lacey Mercer, and you're going to love it. So as we're going into this morning, let's open a prayer. Let's dive in and see what God has for us. You guys ready? Let's pray. Father, be with us today. We're so excited about who you are and how you meet us in your scripture. Today, Lord, as we open the pages of your Bible or we open up the app and find your word electronically, what we're looking for mostly is we want to meet with you. We want to experience the connection with you, that you speak to our hearts as we prepare to hear what you have to say, so that not just so that our minds are filled with more information, but our hearts are substantiated and strengthened by a deeper relationship with you. We love you. We trust you. We ask you to do what only you can do in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. All right, well, here's the anchor verse for the summer series. It's on the outline there in your hand. It'll be on the screen. And it says this, Galatians 5:22 in the first part of 23, NIV says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, let's read these together. Ready? Read. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you just take a look at that list, is there any facet or any characteristic in that list you don't want more of? Honestly, I mean, truthfully, admit it. Wouldn't you rather have those characteristics defining your life than the opposite? If you're not sure about it, let me read a list of opposites, and then let's see, would you rather have A, God's way, or B, darkness's way? Let's talk about the list of opposites. Would you rather have a life filled with hate, sadness, anxiety, frustration, meanness, selfishness, unfaithfulness, harshness, and self-centeredness? I mean, doesn't that just sound like a recipe for wonderful love-filled homes and constructive experience? I mean, just a home defined by hate and anxiety. Of course, we don't want any of that. What we really want is love, joy, peace, patience. We want all of those things. And so the good news is that's what God has in store for us. But most of us instinctively think, I want to be more loving, so I need to act more loving. I want to have more joy, so I better act more joyful. I want to have more peace, so I'm going to act more peaceful. And so we tend to approach these as things we need to work on becoming. Isn't that true? But here's what God wants us to know. If we will let Him actually lead us through the choices of our lives, if we'll let God's Holy Spirit actually lead us moment by moment through our days, taking the scripture that He gives us and showing us how to apply that into our lives and letting Him frame our choices. In other words, if we'll let Jesus lead, He actually, in the process of leading us, produces in us the very things we say we want. So instead of simply working hard to be more loving, the key is let's let Jesus lead us in our choices, and along the way, He creates love in us. Do you see that? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to write this down. Fruit actually means result. So when we look at this list, the fruit of the Spirit that we see in the Bible, God's Word, He's saying, listen, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. He's not talking about fruit like you go into Safeway and say, I'll get some strawberries. We're using strawberries to illustrate love today. And as soon as I looked at that strawberry, my mouth kind of salivated, so I had to stop and swallow for a moment and let me collect myself so I don't spray everything everywhere. But the bottom line is this. I had to swallow. It's awkward. Thank God it's not lemons. I shouldn't have said lemons. Come back. Anyway, the bottom line is this. That the fruit of the Spirit is not something we just go in like we go shopping at Safeway and say, I'll have one of that. And He's not literally talking about fruit at all. He's actually talking about the result of the Holy Spirit's work in our life is love. The result of your obedience to let God lead you in those choices is He produces inside you peace. If you let Him lead you forward, He will actually produce inside you the experience of joy. So the key here is that He's saying, I want you to have love. I want you to have joy. I want you to have peace. I want you to have patience. And the list goes on. But He says the way you have all of those isn't just to go get some love. It's actually let me work in you and lead you. And if you'll let me lead you through life by my word, I'll produce in you love. Do y'all see it? So that's what God wants us to know. So when we're going through this morning, it's important that we actually take a look at this with intention, because God's word is actually true. And he never teases us. Let me just briefly grab a scripture that's not on your outline. It's Romans 12, verse 2. It says this. Listen carefully. It's not on your outline. Just listen. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. If you're taking notes, write that down. Just Romans 12, 2, New Living Translation. The other translations are good too, but the bottom line is this. God literally wants to bring transformation to you. He wants to produce a change in you. And the way he does that is by changing the way you think. And one of the areas he wants to change the way you think on is who's driving who. He wants you to let him drive your life because he knows the very best. So when we're looking at how does God produce the fruit or the results of these things in our life, how does he do it? I'm going to bring you to Galatians 5, verse 16. It says this, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature." If we'll live by the Spirit, we won't satisfy or gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Let me give you a definition. When you see the phrase live by the Spirit, it means this, that God wants us to obey God's Spirit in the choices we make through each day. We make a lot of choices through the day. We don't think of it that way, but we literally choose our way through the day, choice by choice by choice by choice. You choose to get out of bed in the morning. You choose to go to the restroom in the morning. You choose to push the coffee button. You choose to grab whatever it is for breakfast. You choose to go ahead and go to work. Those are all good choices. But you choose how you respond to your boss. You choose how you respond to the circumstance. You choose how you respond to the traffic in front of you. I'm still working on that one. Just got to be honest. But we choose our reactions to our friends. We choose our reactions to invitations. We choose our reactions to desires for entertainment. We choose our actions for what do we do with our free time. We choose. And God wants you to know, listen, you're choosing your way through that. But most of us are letting our desires influence our chooser. And God said, if you'll let me go ahead and guide the chooser, if you'll obey me, I'll show you which way to go. And along the way, I'm going to produce some great things in you that you actually want, called the fruit of the Spirit. So what I wanted to do this morning is just give you that context and lead into this idea where that we really have in our best interest the choice to let God lead our lives. And this morning, before we go any further, I wanted just to reinforce that issue. You're choosing. You choose every moment. You choose every choice. I realize there are circumstances that happen to us that are not our choice, but we even choose the response to that circumstance. You have a powerful, powerful gift that God gave you. And with it comes an equally powerful and important responsibility. The power God gave you is the power of choice. The responsibility is you get what you choose. And God said, listen, why don't you go ahead and just choose to obey me and let me lead you through how to respond to your husband. Let me show you how to respond to your wife. Let me show you how to respond to your employer, to your teacher, to your adult parents, to your children. Let me show you how to respond. Let me show you how to choose those things. Let me show you how to guide your influences for entertainment. Let me show you what to do with your time. Let me show you, if you'll let me guide you through that, you're going to experience something great. So what I wanted to do is just give you this process that we have a powerful thing called choice. The last thing I'll leave you with before I introduce Lacey is this. That we can't just go to the fruit of the Spirit and go, I think I'll take a little bit of love and I want one of the peace and I'll take a little bit of self-control. That isn't the way it works. He said, really, choose to let me guide you through life, and along the way, I'll produce in you love and I'll produce in you joy. And I'll produce, in other words, as we go through the process of following him, he produces all these different fruit. That makes sense? So this is where I want to introduce you to Lacey Mercer. For those of you that have not been here long enough to know this, Lacey Mercer is Pastor Sheree, who was up here earlier. Pastor Sheree and I are married. We've been married since 1989, and God gave us the privilege of having one daughter. Her name is Lacey, started off as Wright. Now Lacey Mercer, because 5 years ago she married that man on the front row. We love James Mercer. Thank you, James, for saying, would you marry me to our daughter? And we're very glad you did. And so in 2012, they did that. Lacey helped us start the church in 2006 in eighth grade. So she's grown up in the house, and she's loved what God has done. And for those of you that don't know that, I just want to give you some context. They've given us one granddaughter named Emma Sheree. And you may wonder if she's about to give us a second grandchild. The answer is yes. That would be Nova Joy. Nova Joy. Many of you recognize her as a great worship leader. But many of you may not have experienced yet that she's very gifted in communication as well. So would you put your hands together and welcome with me Lacey Mercer as she comes to pick up the next point.
Well, hey again, everybody. So like Pastor Dave was saying, today we're talking about love, which is the first fruit of the Spirit. And from love is what the rest of the fruit flows from. So it starts with love, and then it all trickles down from there. And so love to us could mean a myriad of things, right? Like it could be romance, flowers, his and hers towels kind of thing, all the way to, man, I really like something. So for example, I love my husband, but I also love coffee. And I love the new shirt that I just bought that I can't wait to wear when I have this kid. But there's very different meanings in all of those uses of the word love, right? I don't love my new shirt the way I love my husband, right? So I don't know if you know this, maybe you do, but the Bible was not written in English. Did you know? Yeah? Okay, just checking. Actually, the New Testament, which is where Galatians is in, was written in Greek. Crazy. It was written in Greek, and the Greeks had a lot of words, like way more words than what we have. And so for our one word love, they had several words for the word love. So where we're saying like, oh, I love this, I love that, we're not getting the full context of what love meant in this scripture. So let's just take a minute. We're going to study a little Greek today. Are you good with that? Great, because you don't have a choice. Okay, so the word in Galatians 5:22, when it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, the word in the Greek is agape. Let's all say it together, agape. Man, y'all sound so smart. And what that meant is love, okay, good, whew, have affectionate regard, goodwill, and benevolence. So for the one word love, it meant all those things. So right here it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, affectionate regard, goodwill, and benevolence. That's what love means. So it says regard. In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. That's a heavy scripture. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. My goodness, these strawberries smell so good, you guys. Oh, my goodness. So if God is saying that this is how he designed us to be, he designed us to be loving and to regard other people as more important than ourselves, then we would assume that this would be easy, right? And we would assume that it would be easy to be loving to the people closest to us, right? Because they're close to us and they know us and we just love them. But how many of you know that's not always the case? Sometimes it seems like it's easier to act loving towards people that we don't know, like the people at the grocery store or at Starbucks because they're giving us our coffee, than it is to act loving towards the people that are closest to us. In fact, sometimes it feels like the people closest to us kind of get the short end of the stick. They kind of get our leftovers. Okay, I see you're not getting it. Okay, I'm going to paint a picture for you. It's Sunday morning. You get in the car. Your kid did not sleep well last night. In fact, she's being very sensitive this morning. So you get in the car, your kid's been sensitive, your husband didn't compliment your new outfit, or your wife didn't make your K-cup this morning, or she made the wrong K-cup this morning. And so you're like, you're in the car, and everything is like, would you just be quiet? I'm just try to turn up the music, and it's just, there's tension, right? Can you feel, there's just tension in the car, and the person in front of you is driving 5 below the speed limit, and you're supposed to be here to serve at the 9:30 service, and don't they know if you don't get here in time, the quiches are going to be gone. For those that aren't on our dream team, we have quiches and sausage and wonderful breakfast items for you every morning when you serve at LifeLink. It's a good incentive. Anyway, so you're like, don't you know I'm supposed to be at church? And you pull into the parking lot, and there's the parking lot attendant waving at you. And you're like, if you... And you pull into a parking spot. You want to park in the guest spot, but you know you shouldn't because that's for the guests. So you park really far away. And as soon as the door opens, it's like, hi, I'm Christian Barbie. Meet my husband, I love God, Ken. And it's like you float into church. These are our angels, my cherubim and my seraphim. And you walk into church and you drop them off at childcare and you're like, oh, and you go through, we look to the sun. Yes, amen. I'm blessed and highly favored. Glory be to the Lord. And you go like that. And then as soon as you get in the car, it's like, did you hear what they said? That was for you. That was straight for you today. Why is it that it's so much harder to love the people closest to us, right? Maybe it's just me. Y'all can pray for me. See, the thing is, this Philippians 2, it doesn't say act like you regard people as more important than yourselves. It actually says regard them as more important than yourself. And that's the key. See, I don't believe that we consciously make the decision that we think we're more important than the people around us. I don't think that. But I do think that we don't make that choice to see from the other person's perspective. I think it's because the reality is we can act any way that we want to the people that don't really know us. The Starbucks barista or baristo, if it's a guy. The Safeway cashier. The people, the greeters at church, because we can kind of keep everybody here and kind of act a certain way. But it's the people that are closest to us. You can't act a certain way because they're always there. So at some point, they're going to see who you really are, right? See, loving someone is choosing to actually see and believe that they're more important. Choosing to see them and believe that they're more important than me, than you. It's putting their needs before us. And honestly, we can't do it by ourselves. We can try to act a certain way and muster it up and like, I'm gonna love you. I don't like you right now, but I'll love you. And we can try to act it, right? But after a while, I mean, I was in theater in high school, but I'm not that great of an actress. I'm not that good to keep that going for that long. After a while, my true colors are going to come out. And that's just human nature. We can try to force it for a while, but it won't last. Like Pastor Dave said, this is a fruit or a result of the Holy Spirit leading us. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit leading us. Which means if we're finding it difficult to love, then maybe the Holy Spirit isn't leading us in every aspect of our life. If we're finding it difficult to have grace and to love people close to us or not, that's a really good indicator, like the gaslight that's blinking. Hey, Holy Spirit's not leading you in this area. And if the Holy Spirit's not leading us in the area of love, and if all the rest of the fruit flows from love, we're not getting the other good benefits of having a Holy Spirit-led life. Chances are, if we're not feeling a lot of love in our life towards other people, then we're not sensing a lot of joy or peace or patience. Maybe we're not being very kind or good or gentle, faithful. Maybe there's not much self-control in our life because it all stems from love. So, You're like, okay, now what do I do? Well, I'm not a professional, so this is me just teeing it up, and we're going to bring the pro back out here to tell us what to do. Sound good? So can y'all give me, help me welcome Pastor Dave on out here to tell us what we're supposed to do with this.
All right, thanks, Lace. Wasn't that fun? I told y'all were going to enjoy this. All right, so let's dive in and take a look at it. How does God's Holy Spirit produce love inside of me? So a couple of things I'll give you some pointers on. Number one, if you're paying attention, write this down. He alerts me of an opportunity to show his love or supernatural love to somebody else. Let me give you a quick illustration of what this looks like. David Wanji is a good friend of mine. He's sitting on the front row. He's a very talented engineer, got so many great qualities. But would you mind to stand right where you are? Okay, so this is David Wanji. Everybody give him a big hand. He has no idea what I'm about to ask him to do. What he's going to do for the next 30 seconds is yodel. I'm just kidding. So he was like, what? I don't think so. No, I'm not going to ask you to do that. But the bottom line is, so if I look over and see David Wanji, I could actually see, like, oh, there's Dave Wanji. I love Dave Wanji. But I could also say, hey, God, there's Dave Wanji. How's he doing? That makes sense? So I bring the Spirit of God online in my awareness to say, God, is there anything I need to do to be a part of what you're doing in Dave Wanji? And all of a sudden, he'll alert you yes, you need to be extra gracious this morning and say, hello, Dave, I'm praying for you today. Or I can just go, yo, what's up, Dave? And just walk on by and never bring God's Spirit online and say, God, is there something that I need to say? Is there something I need to do? So thank you, Dave, you can have a seat. And you don't have to yodel. Okay. But one of the things that God helps us do is actually see the person. See, the person God sees inside the wrapper that we call that person is not the same as the one we see. Because we don't tend to see people, we tend to see their issues or how they make us feel. But God is really good at actually seeing them in the middle of all their issues. And he'll show us who they are. And once we see them, the love of God begins to flow through us. It's the most amazing thing. So that's one of the things he does, is he alerts us. Number two, he'll actually nudge us to take action. He'll nudge us to take action. In other words, once we sense him say, Dave Wanji's having a hard day, you need to go out of your way to let him feel my love working through you. And you can do that by a warm handshake, slap on the back, and man, I'm praying for you today. I know God's watching where you're at and has something good for you. If you'll just go by and say that, then it'll make all the difference. And he'll nudge you, and your heart will pick up the pace a little bit, like, I don't know if I'm supposed to do that or not. Listen, if you ever feel the nudge on the inside that you're supposed to go encourage somebody, that God has a good plan for them, or that God sees them, or God loves them or cares for them, here's what you can know for sure: it's not the devil telling you to do that. So why not just go ahead and risk it that could be God nudging you to do a little something? Does that make sense? And step out on it and say, hey, sweetheart, I know you've had a hard day today, but I want you to know God actually sees you. And I'm privileged to be your husband. I just want you to know God's with us today. Or whatever that looks like, just step out and do that. Because even if you're not sure, you can practice his presence by obeying his guidance. That makes sense? So he'll nudge you. So he alerts you, he nudges you. And then if you're really not sure, you want to go out, and because maybe that'll make you feel stupid, or maybe if you do that, that'll make you feel a little bit less than the person or whatever it is that may be working in your mind. One of the things he'll do, write this down, is he will remind me of Jesus' example on the cross. This is usually all it takes for me. If I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to go out of the way to do that, I'm kind of busy or whatever, then I remember the picture of Jesus hanging on the cross for me and realize he did that for me. He's the one that left everything that was rightfully his. Philippians chapter 2 gives us this picture in the New Testament. Jot that down, Philippians chapter 2. Read through that scripture and see what God did, all that he left in order to sacrifice everything to make sure that you had your needs taken care of. And if I ever need motivation, then that's what I do. I just let him remind me that that's what he did for me. And that same love and that same compassion, that same conviction is inside me because he's in there by the Holy Spirit to do the same thing. And so if he'll alert me to see someone, he'll nudge me to act. And if I'm still a little bit not sure, he'll remind me, hey, I did this for you. And I'm not asking you to die on the cross for that person. I'm just saying, go out of your way to be gracious. I know they make you feel stupid. I know maybe something they said makes you feel angry. But look past the issue, look through the insecurity, look through the pain, and see there's something I want to do. Would you like to be a part of what I'm doing in that person's life? And in doing so, we're actually letting Jesus drive the decisions of our life. So earlier, we were talking about the idea of letting Jesus actually guide us in our life. And letting the Holy Spirit do this or lead us through the process is the beginning of something I'm gonna say, write this down, asking the 2-3 question. What's the 2-3 question? The 2-3 question really is a question that is ours by way of Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Lacey read this a few moments ago. I'm going to go back to it and look at it one more time. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. So anytime you feel like God is saying, hey, I want you to reach out and make a difference for this person. I want you to show them my love. I want you to do this. And we may think, oh, no, they're below me. Or that's not what I'm supposed to be doing here. Let him remind you that's what he did for you. And just ask yourself the two, three question. Do I regard that person as better than myself? Because if I don't, then there's a good chance I'm not willing to actually reach out and do that. I'm not willing to look silly by saying, you know what, listen, in the heat of an argument with your spouse or with your child or maybe with your parent or whatever, in the heat of the argument, I'm not willing to go, hey, listen, wait. Our relationship is too important for us to fracture right here. So let me be the first to say I apologize for what I contributed to this argument. What I really want here more than anything is relationship. Yeah, but Pastor Dave, I look stupid. I'll look weak if I do that. No. You might look meek, but you won't look weak. Just answer the question. Do you regard them as more important than yourself? The 2-3 question. I don't think I like that question. You may not like the question, but you will love what it does for you. If you'll remember what Lacey went out of her way to help you see this morning, God didn't say act as if that person is more important. He says actually regard them as if they are. Yeah, but doesn't Jesus say we're all God's children? Yes, we're all the same in his eyes in that context. But the way we choose our responses, he's saying, I want you to regard them as if they were. Literally regard them as if they were better. Why? Because that opens the door for you to actually let me flow through you the way I flowed to you when I left heaven to come to do what I did. That makes sense, you guys? So I want to leave with this daily challenge through the week, that you would ask the question, the 2-3 question, by filling in this blank. Do I regard my spouse, my kids, my friends, my boss, my employees, and do I regard Republicans as better than myself? Do I regard Democrats as better than myself? Oh, Pastor Dave, we got to go there. Yeah. You know why? Our nation is so fractured right now because every voice out there is more concerned about the power of its persuasion than actually healing our nation, that they're leveraging hatred amongst people who, if we look past the labels and just see people, it's like all of a sudden, hey, I want to make sure that we're still good. We might actually see solutions from a different perspective, but that doesn't change the way we act to each other. We need to love each other. We need to be for each other. We're all on the ball together here. We got to make sure that God's love actually does this. So you got to look through the rhetoric. You got to look through the issues. You got to see people. And that's what God's saying. Do I regard them as better than myself? Because if I do, good chance is I'll dial the rhetoric down. I'll dial the intensity down in my own argument in my house. I'll reach out and embrace my kids or my parents a little easier. I'll slow the roll down a little bit. Why? Because I realize that what's happening around us needs a solution, and more of the same harder isn't going to work. But the love of God will. The love of God will, which is what he wants to do in us. Do you guys feel it this morning? So God wants to say, I'm going to produce inside of you an extraordinary process of giving you a transformational experience to bring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I want to do all of these things in you. And the key to do it is just to simply follow my lead. The Holy Spirit will actually do his part. Our job is literally just let him. How do we do it? By choosing to follow Jesus. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, as we conclude the first part of this summer series, I'm asking God you would give us perspective that comes from our willingness to let you really show us what's true and what's happening. That you loved us enough to leave heaven, make your way into our lives by a sacrificial expression of your commitment to us. That's what love is. Today, I'm asking you would give us courage to face the truth, Lord, the reality that in large portions of our life, we're not letting you drive. We're not letting you lead. We're just doing what we think we want or what we think is right. But today, instead, we're making the decision to actually follow you and let Jesus, you be the Lord. We're sorry we've sinned against you, God. What we really want is you to be the middle of who we are, leading our lives. We want to be called by your name. We want to be called Christ followers. So, Holy Spirit, flow into this place with an expression of your grace and courage to make decisions that will change our life and our family tree forever in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to call you to a point of decision. You may be in here today and you know that you know that you know that you're not living this way, that Jesus is not at the steering wheel of your life. But you know today that more of what you're doing isn't going to give you what you know deep inside you need. And the only way you'll get there is to let Jesus actually lead your life. You need to actually do something we call a life change decision. The Bible calls it repentance. And it just simply means to acknowledge to the Lord, I've sinned against you by doing my own thing. I'm asking you to forgive me for that. And I'm asking you to come into the core of my heart and lead me forward. Take the steering wheel, God. Drive me, lead me forward, guide me, drive me through the choices of my life by the guidance that comes from your word. And in doing so, align me with your kingdom and all the benefits that go with that, including eternal life. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask, how many of you would say, yes, that's my decision today? I need to say yes to Jesus in a fresh new way. I recognize that I'm not following him. A lot of people may call me Christian. I may have thought of that myself. But the truth is, in my heart of hearts, I'm not letting him lead. I'm just doing what I want. Well, I'm going to count to three in just a moment. If you're ready to make that decision, I'm going to ask that you would slip your hand up, pray this life change prayer with me, and God's going to wreck your world in a really good way by moving into the middle of your life and showing you how to live the real life. All right? One, this is not complicated. It's simple. Are you following Jesus or are you not? Two, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. You already know who you are. In a moment, I'm going to say three, and I'm going to ask you to throw your hand up. And I'm going to give your mouth words to say that your heart's already saying, and we're going to watch God do a miracle. You ready? Three, if that's you, slip your hand up right now. Leave it up while I count. I'm just going to ask that you have the courage to hold that hand up just for a moment while I count. One, two, three, four. Who else? Five. Anybody else? Who else? One more time, just a moment. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. Would everyone pray this prayer out loud with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for being good to me, telling me the truth of your word, and giving your son Jesus to pay the legal penalty of my sins. Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin in every way. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me brand new. Today, I'm deciding to follow you. No turning back. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Can we just give the Lord a great big praise this morning?
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.